In recent Zoom elders conferences that we've had the last couple of years where we hook up with Hollister, we've covered many topics of relevant issues. I'd like to cover some of that material today because last year, Fred gave a sermon on the mark of the beast, and then he followed up with a condensed version of that in a sermonette. And I was intrigued by that, and I thought, well, how many more are out there? So I'd like to cover some of that material today. And in keeping with these two Mark of the Beast messages, I went online to listen to all of the Mark of the Beast sermons that I could get a hold of, especially on our sister churches of God. And there are quite a few, and it's ongoing and growing. I listened to several from Living, several from United, several from Cogwa. There was Father's Call, there was Tom Carey, and even an old rerun of Garner Ted Armstrong that brings back memories. And then I listened to three from Protestant sources as well, and at least a dozen or more in total. Now, in Worldwide, we were told it was enforced Sunday keeping, and 40, 50 years ago, we didn't question it. And basically, this is similar in our churches of God today with some variation. And in keeping with the old messages from Garner Ted Armstrong. Now, we had an older fellow in our former association that used to come to church, and he'd come and he'd bring all these, you're familiar with them. You have packets of CDs, Fred's CDs, and he'd commence to hand them out after church, after services were over, and a lot of us were taking them home, and then he twisted our arm and told me to take some home, and I said, well, you're my friend, and I don't need this, but I said, I will, and I did, and I was hooked, because some of that material that was coming out then was on the mark of the beast. And I was hooked on that. And then, of course, along come the Christian Passover book, God's Plan for Mankind, Occult Holidays and God's Holy Days, which, these are fantastic books. And after I read them and I wanted more, and I appreciated what he did, the Mark of the Beast suddenly made some sense. Because if it was enforced Sunday keeping, you just do your shopping on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And of course, you wouldn't shop on Saturday, and you certainly wouldn't shop on Sunday if that was the case. But anyway, it boils down to what Fred said. It's an RFID chip in the right hand or in the forehead. Now, a little history on chipping the whole world. It's kind of an unusual source because I used to listen to the Alec Jones show on Infowar.com, and he had a guest there, an interesting guest by the name of Aaron Russo. Some of you may have heard that. And Aaron told him things about the global elite and what they were planning to do because Aaron had become a good friend with one of the members in the global elite. And as he became friends, he disclosed to Aaron what they planned to do, like chip the whole world and go cashless. And also, oh yes, we've got to depopulate the world down to about a tenth of what it presently is. Well, Russo didn't agree with this and their friendship dissolved because you got to go cashless first and all of these things. So Aaron Russo went public with it on the Alec Jones show. He blew the whistle, and he did that interview back in 2006. He died in 2007. He was 64. This interview is still available on YouTube if you so choose to watch it. So that gives us some of the history on chipping. Anyhow, back to the Mark of the Beast's sermons by our various sister churches of God. Most of them say the same thing as what Worldwide did, with some variation. One of the more prominent churches of God that you'll see on television on a Sunday emphatically states, we know for sure it is not a barcode, it is not an RFID chip, and it's not a tattoo. We know that for sure. I thought, well, that's funny. I don't know that for sure. But anyway, I guess he's got an inside track. Let's take a look at Revelation 13 first, because where else do you begin? We all know what's there. Now, other churches of God speculate that perhaps a chip may be involved, but hey, nobody knows for sure. Nobody. So Revelation 13 and verse 1 says, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, and on it 10 horns, and on the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. We'll just zip ahead to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he is given power to make war against the saints, and to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. So we're talking about world government here. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let's go to verse 16. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have the ability to buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Wow. So everybody's going to trot down and get an RFID chip. And no problem going down and getting a vaccine here in the last couple of years. And then we could take a look back at Ezekiel 9, because there's another scripture that we go to, or they go to explain the mark of the beast in the mark of the beast sermons. A number of them use this. Ezekiel 9 and verse 1 sets the tone. And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, let the executioners of the city draw near, even each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which faces north, and each had his slaughtering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of the Lord of Israel, the God of Israel, had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen with the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, that's in the city, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and who are mourning, because all of the abominations that are done in her midst. And brethren, do you know anybody that groans and mourns because of the abominations that are done on this earth? More so as of late, these last few years, the world is becoming very inhospitable. The abortions and all of the things on television and radio, the news, it makes you mourn and groan and mourn. And he said to those in my hearing, go through the city after him and slaughter. Let not your eyes spare, nor have pity. Fully destroy old men, young men, and virgins, and little children, and women. But do not come near the man, near any man on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began with the old men who were before the temple. And he said to them, defile the temple, and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and slaughtered in the city. Well, that's a terrible time. But anyway, this is the scripture they go to wind up the Mark of the Beast sermons, a number of them, and I think they're trying their best, but for some reason they don't quite see it. We see the setting is in Jerusalem, and those that cry and mourn have a mark on their foreheads. And this mark is a sign of protection. If we have that mark, we are spared from slaughter. but we're not spared from witnessing the slaughter. It doesn't say that. And this indicates the city of Jerusalem and how many of us live in Jerusalem. Conclusion, if you have this mark, you're good to go. Nothing here about buying or selling, just protection. This is the answer. If you receive this mark, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry, be happy. You know, what about if we're hungry? What about the next day, the next week? What if we need a tank of gas, or a stick of gum, or a newspaper, or a cup of coffee? Well, today, we have cash. And if our credit cards, a chip on our credit cards, were shut off, we'd just reach in our pockets and pull out cash. But when we go cashless, brethren, we won't have this option. So this aspect, kind of like it's pushed under the rug and it becomes no longer a problem. Now, I'm going to draw attention to a booklet. It's an 80-page booklet by one of our former association, and I won't read the front so you know who it is. But I'd just like to go on the middle of the book. It says, here is the mark and the number of his beast. So I'm reading the book because I want to know about Revelation. I want to know what the mark of the beast is. I've had this since 06. And I'm like, finally, I'm going to see what the mark of the beast is right here. And here's one, here's on the middle of the book, it says, and of course it cites Revelation 13, it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. And no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast. And of course, perfect start out with it. Great so far. And it talks about historical evidence of Babylon and some of the marks they placed on their foreheads and other, they tattooed them and they marked them up. It says there may be parallels between that and this. Here's another one. Many have speculated. Some interpret it. However, we should consider the receiving a mark on their hand or forehead could well be figurative. So now it's figurative. So I thought, well, still half a page to go. Maybe. Likewise, the mark of the beast is evidently a mark of disobedience to God, which it is. Now, many Bible students have pointed to, so here's many Bible students, it says Seventh-day Sabbath is an identifying sign of God's people. Okay, that's fine. Another one, they believe. Another one says, could be. Farther down, it says, maybe. Another farther down, may well be. And it ends up by saying exactly how the end time number of the beast, 666, will be used and applied is not yet clear. Brethren, it didn't help much. So anyway, I talked recently to an old friend of mine, George, not his real name. He's 68 years old. He's a bachelor. He's a farmer. He's a trapper. He's a fisherman. He's a hunter. He spins some pretty good yarns, and he's a dandy gunsmith and many more things. He's got lots of stories. He drinks too much. He smokes too much. He cusses too much and eats too much of his own cooking. Like I said, he's 68. He looks 98. I said to him one time, I said, you're kind of a mean, tough old guy, George. What made you so tough and mean? He said, it's my mother. I said, how so? He said, she used to send me off to school every morning with two sandwiches wrapped in barbed wire. And I thought, well, that explains a few things. And George is also an adamant anti-vaxxer. So he's an interesting individual. But he told me things about the chip. I said, well, pretty soon now, they'll take the chip, which is here on this an old credit card of mine. I said, they'll pry that chip off. They'll roll it into a little tube and put a few more electronics in there and shove it under her skin. And before the words were out of my lips, George says, mark of the beast. I tell you, that's the mark of the beast. I was flabbergasted. I don't imagine George has seen a Bible in 60 years. He's totally unchurched. How did he figure this out? What does George have that the hierarchy in these churches of God don't have? Go figure. Anyway, carrying on, I went and listened to three Sunday-keeping Protestant organizations. Nice folks, they have a little truth, they do. And with it, you know what they've mixed in there with it. But I tried the Prophecy Watchers. I always enjoy those guys. They go heavy into One World Order and conspiracy facts about the Mark of the Beast, which they're right on with. And they're Sunday keepers, Christmas, Easter, born again, heaven bound, Trinitarians, and probably rapture still mixed in together. But that's fine for them. But they're bang on a chip in the right hand or forehead in a cashless society. Then I went to another fellow. He appeared to be an independent mainstream Protestant, and he was bang on. He says it's a chip in the right hand, and he had lots of data to support his claim, and he used Revelation and 13 and 14. Next up was a man that I least expected. Does anybody remember old Jack Van Impe and his wife Rexella? Sure, they were on television a long time ago. Old Jack was, you know, dressed perfect, beautiful hair, lovely tie and shirt and jacket. I mean, he was a handsome man in his prime. And believe it or not, he had about half the Bible memorized. And he'd bounce up and down and he's excited. And he kind of had to like the guy, but here again, he's a Trinitarian, he's born again, he's heaven-bound. And that's fine for him. We also know about the second resurrection. Now, Jack, believe it or not, has a movie documentary on the Mark of the Beast. And it's a dandy. It's got a lot of rapture stuff in there, and you got to kind of push that aside because we know better than that. But anyway, you look at it for what it is. He went back in the history of the Mark of the Beast, and he says, we were chipping horses and cattle and pets back in the 60s. And he said, now the next thing is to start chipping people. And he said, it's coming. So he gave a history on that, and he did a lot of research. He had video and interviews with scientists and electronic people that are into this kind of thing. And really heavy-duty stuff. He'd done a lot of research. He says it's total control. It's total tracking device, no paper money, total cashless, and there's no hiding. If you don't go along with the party politics, you don't eat. And you know that movie came out in 1997. I thought this thing must have been made last year. That's 27 years ago. Well, old Jack died in 2020. He was 88 years old. Now, as for no place to hide, we're just about there. I'll pull up my iPad here, and I'm going to go. A lot of you can see that. That's the symbol for map. So if you want to know where you are, you push that. Push that. Now, there's a little blue dot that comes up. That little blue dot is sitting in the southeast corner of the house. That's where I am right now. Last night or the other night, I turned it on and the little blue dot was sitting outside the house in the there's rock garden outside. But tonight, he's right where he's supposed to be. He's in the southeast corner of the house, of our house. This outline shows the outline of our house. Now, if I take this device and I walk to the kitchen, the little blue dot will follow me, and he will be in the southwest corner of the house. Now, if I go to the back, the north side, to the deep freeze or something, the little blue dot will be back there with me. So is this, or is this not, a tracking device? If I can find out where I am, and they're handy on the highway, believe me, you probably all use it too. Do we not think that some database could do the same and say, we know where Bruce Bird is. He's sitting in the southeast corner of his house. And there's one thing, they can't tell the color of my socks yet, but that'll be coming next. You just never know. Anyway, what's the solution? Well, we could take and throw these things and our cell phones on the back of a big highway transport truck heading for Vancouver. They'd never find us. This would not be an option if it was wearable. If it's under the skin, it'd be no hiding then. Brethren, we all know about the woke society that we're living in. And last summer, we were heading to church. It was June 17th. We'd traveled to Saskatoon, 150 miles. And we made the mistake of driving down the University Bridge. And normally that's not a problem. But this was the day of the Gay Day Pride Parade. As we come across the bridge, we're heading down, and we can see this is the mustering point. And it was just a hornet's nest of cars and traffic. As we could come down, we could see all the trees, we could see the roads going every which way. And everywhere we looked, there was cars and trucks and people walking and parents pulling little strollers with babies, and the babies are waving little pride parades, their pride flags. And the dogs, they had scarves of, and they were in pride colors. You know, the city is about 340,000. It appeared that a good percentage of that city was down there. It was just bedlam. But anyway, everybody there probably doesn't agree with that agenda. But if they're there, are they not endorsing that lifestyle by their presence? Makes you think. And if one was to speak out negatively in this woke agenda on a cell phone or text or even on our phones or iPads, emails, whatever, and some data center picks up on that, they could just say, okay, and they shut our chip off. Now, they can do that already on our little chips on the credit card if they chose to do it. So if that was to happen, well, we'd just reach in, we'd pull cash out and pay for it now. But boy, when they stick it under the skin and there's no more cash left, if we don't go along with the party line, we don't eat. So one must be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, as we see in Matthew 10, verse 15. Can you hide? Can you hide from this? Remember down flight 370 back in March of 2014. 239 passengers and crew died, lost. Still a mystery, we are told. The question is, wouldn't most of these people have had a cell phone? What about the transponders on the plane? See, it's not foolproof, not yet. And closer to home, an old gal from Choiceland, which is 80 miles north and west of where I sit, right at the edge of the forest, she used to go into the forest for picking blueberries and mushrooms, and she got lost. 3 days later, they found her, and the nights were cool and rainy, and she had died. It was a sad thing. So this tracking device is not quite foolproof yet. But the mark of the beast appears we're right on the cusp. Turn with me to Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Revelation 14 and verse 8. Then another angel followed, saying, "The great city Babylon is fallen, because of the wrath of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, which she has given all nations to drink." And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast or his image, and receives a mark in his forehead or in his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God." But verse 11, "The smoke of their torment ascends unto the ages of eternity. And those who worship the beast in his image, and all who receive the mark, receive the mark of his name, have no rest day or night." So that's a pretty tough time. Here's the patience of the saints. You're the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forward. Yes, says the Spirit, so they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." And brethren, our works will follow us. The character we've built is something we can take to the grave with us and right into the resurrection. What a remarkable thing to know. Revelation 3, verse 10, scripture we're all familiar with, 3, verse 10, lesson or to the Philadelphians. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the time of temptation, which is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. The time of temptation. Do we take the mark and eat, or do we refuse it and scrabble around and see if we can make it on our own? Well, we have God's hand behind us, God's promises. Take a look at Revelation 20 and verse 4. 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive. Receive means you have to receive it, receptive to it. The mark in their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And it goes on to say, this is the first resurrection. But with that, brethren, we have knowledge of the second resurrection, because it said this is the first. So what does that tell us? There's a second. And we also know there's a third. Well, we used to call it the third. But we know about the first and the second and the lake of fire. And brethren, that is privileged inside information that the rest of the world doesn't have. Talk to your friends, your Protestant friends. Ask them about the second resurrection. Never heard of it. And it's the answer to old Uncle Hebert that drank too much and smoked too much and didn't go to church and didn't read his Bible. He was not a really nice man. I guess he's in the fires of hell. Brethren, no. We have been given this information. What an incredible thing to know about the first resurrection, the second resurrection, and even the lake of fire. And they're all an act of love from God. In conclusion, brethren, this is a sample of what gets discussed in our Zoom conferences. It's timely, it's biblical, it's relevant to our times and to all of our well-being. So let's stay tuned, and happy Sabbath, brethren.